Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, we are going to air audio from another radio talk show host in Denver. I called into his program on Friday. He was talking about the latest school massacre, the tragic school shooting in Texas, 8 students murdered, 2 teachers. And so Stephen Tubbs was discussing that, taking calls. I called in. We have about 3 minutes of that. Also, then, I want to go to audio that's gone viral on YouTube from the Oklahoma governor, Matt Bevin. This is back in February. So this is maybe 8 minutes of audio. And for mine, I was on a cell phone in a parking lot at a post office, and it was raining. So my audio is not real great. But Oklahoma governor Matt Bevin talking about the exact same thing. Only about another school shooting. So he was phenomenal. We want to discuss that. Also, someone viewing our YouTube channel, we're now well over 400,000 views on the Bob and Yart Live YouTube channel. We've uploaded our Big Bang video. We also uploaded a 3-minute video with clips from a 1950s sci-fi film called The Giant Claw. If you haven't seen that 3-minute video, that 3-minute video disproves the Big Bang Theory. That 3-minute video from The Giant Claw from 1957. So if you haven't seen that, you might want to go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the top right, our YouTube channel, and then you'll see it right there near the very top of our channel, The Giant Claw. I think you'll get a kick out of that. So one of our viewers there mentioned in a comment our Bob Debates the Stars when I had the opportunity to debate a number of Hollywood celebrities, Jimmy Kimmel, Bill Maher, Cisco, remember him, he was a rapper, Donny Osmond of all people, Martin Short, Judd Nelson, a number of others, and then pornographer Larry Flint. We have all those on a single DVD called Bob Debates the Stars. I mention it because now we've embedded that DVD label on our debates page at kgov.com/debates, where we continue to add the debates we've had over the last 27 years. We add these on that one page as people bring them to our attention. Bob, remember you were on with Jimmy Kimmel, and so we keep adding. So kgov.com/debates. You can see that. Also, the Pope has done it again, Pope Francis. This time, he has been so immoral, so wicked, that we, for the first time in these decades of being on the air and having a website, we're well known for making lists, like at kgov.com/lists, L-I-S-T-S. We've never made a list of the immoral actions and words of a pope. Well, now that's changed. We have our pope list at kgov.com/pope. Well, the second bullet, we made this the second bullet. It's so tragic. From Chile, a sexual abuse victim who is now a homosexual. He had been molested by a Catholic priest years ago, a notorious Catholic priest. This sexual abuse victim who's now homosexual, he claims that Pope Francis told him during their meeting at the Vatican just last month in April, he says that Pope Francis told him, quote, God made you like this and loves you like this, and the Pope loves you like this. You have to be happy with who you are. Talk about setting someone up to fail. Talk about hating someone. That's what that is. Jesus Christ told us that God made us male and female, and that sexual immorality is sinful. It destroys people from the inside out, and that sexual behavior is only acceptable within marriage, as God instituted marriage between one man and one woman. So this abuse victim, Juan Carlos, his report, what he says the Pope told him in private, it's consistent with Pope Francis' documented fondness for homosexuals. It's just the most forthright that we've heard yet from this Pope. And he became Pope not in spite of his support for homosexuals, but because of his appreciation, his fondness for homosexuals. But when Francis told this homosexual, God made you like this, actually, it wasn't God, but it was the pedophile priest. It was Fernando Caradima who made Carlos gay. Male homosexuals reproduce sexually. They do. We documented on our website, kgov.com/homosexuals. Male homosexuals reproduce sexually by molesting boys. Those boys, it's sort of like the Stockholm syndrome, and this happens to a boy, and he begins to identify with his captor, his emotional captor, his molester. So male homosexuals reproduce sexually by molesting boys. That's why so many of those boys become homosexual. And you can read about this and see the examples, again, at our website, kgov.com/homosexuals. So what's going to happen next? Probably Juan will likely be victimized yet again, this time when Pope Francis denies the report, right? Effectively calling Carlos a liar. And this would follow on the Vatican's recent dispute. Remember that? With the elderly Italian journalist who was with the Pope in the Vatican and then wrote his article and said that the Pope denied the existence of hell. He was very explicit on how the Pope denied the existence of hell. So the Vatican said he's a liar. And now they're probably going to re-victimize this guy yet again and say he's a liar. So we'll see if that happens. All right, now, the latest horrific school shooting in Texas. Remember the list we have of the things that need to be done to end the crime epidemic in America, including the epidemic of school shootings. There are not as many school shootings as the left likes to exaggerate, but it's a horrific epidemic nonetheless. We have that list at our website, kgov.com/crime. kgov.com/crime. The list is called The List of Ways. How should the church respond to a crime epidemic? What we could do to positively affect the culture and lower the crime epidemic and reduce school shootings. Here's the list of what we should do. If you haven't read that list, I encourage you to check it out. It's so very important. So now let's go to the somewhat rough audio when I called in on a cell phone on a very rainy day in the parking lot of a post office to Stephen Tubbs' program that airs on a competing station, KNUS, and then we'll go to the governor of Oklahoma on the same topic.
We continue talking about Texas and the school shooting there. Bob joins us on 710 KNUS. Thanks for the call.
I'd like to take issue with your main suggestion and then offer alternative suggestions.
Go for it.
The idea of metal detectors is not a solution. It's not even a good idea, because when you have crime epidemics, so there's can't versus won't. If you try to make it so that people can't commit crimes, they're simply too resourceful, and you're not addressing the real problems. So London is a perfect example. You could stop every kid from bringing a gun into every school in the country, and still you can lose 100 kids a year to murder. So you got to focus on the won'ts, not the can'ts.
I guarantee you right now, if you had a statistic of how many school shootings were in the UK versus the US, no matter the size comparison, we would win every time.
Of course. That's absolutely right.
Stop the tape. Okay. Stefan didn't get the point. You know, it's a quick conversation. The point is that in London, they have this intense gun control and they have a crime epidemic. They beat New York City in the number of murders the last couple months because people are stabbing people to death and throwing acid in people's faces. So people are resourceful. And if you couldn't get a gun into school, there are countless ways to kill people. And they could kill kids outside of school, too. It doesn't have to be in school. So that was the point. Let's continue.
Missing the point.
Okay, what's your solution? What's your solution?
There is no soundbite solution. There's about a dozen major problems in our culture. Each one factors in. For example, our kids are growing up in a culture that is awash in a crime epidemic, a murder epidemic and a crime epidemic. So each of these kids, if they grew up in a culture that was not crime-ridden, they would be different kinds of kids. That's one problem. Another problem is that the kids are taught in the curriculum that we're animals, that we've evolved from animals, we're worms, we're fish, we're apes. And if you tell kids that they're animals, eventually they start acting like animals. That's another problem. Stefan, if I were you, I would ask the father of one of the Columbine victims to come on the show. His son, Danny, was killed. And he went on CNN, a town hall, just a few days later. And he had a quiz from Columbine. And the instructions on the quiz were, there are no right or wrong answers. And it's all about moral and ethical issues. And when you tell kids there's no such thing as right or wrong, kids are going to explore that. One last problem I'll share with you is suicide. Suicide is inherently destabilizing. And as adults affirm suicide, then young people put murder-suicide in their toolbox of ways to deal with their problems.
Bob, we got to run. Brother. I've given you your time. Thank you so much for calling. The last two school shootings did not commit suicide. John joins us on 710 KNUS. Good evening.
So I agree with everything the last caller just said.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Hey, we're back in studio now. So Stefan missed the point about suicide. It wasn't that every school shooter is going to commit suicide. That's not the point. The point is twofold. One, that they are prepared to die that day. The school shooters are prepared to die that day. And secondly, it's the murder-suicide school shootings that have turned this into a copycat situation and into an epidemic. Suicide is inherently destabilizing. You could see that on our website at kgov.com/suicide. Now let's go to Matt Bevin, the Oklahoma governor. Way better audio. This has gone viral on YouTube. He was challenged as being a hypocrite because he didn't jump on the knee-jerk reaction to regulate guns as a solution to the school shootings. So let's hear this. Absolutely fascinating. He brings in pornography, abortion, so many phenomenal issues, and he gives a strong argument as to why it's not the guns themselves. So this is Oklahoma Governor Matt Bevin at a town hall in February 2018, and he'll be responding to a question we'll hear from a consultant.
Hi, my name is Evan Davies, and I'm just an independent consultant. I'm not affiliated with any organization. I really admire the work that you're doing to help foster children, and you've said a number of times that, you know, the children's lives is most important. We had a murder a little while ago where 17 people, including many kids, were murdered in their schools. And how do you reconcile the children's lives are most important with the comments you've made to the media about it's naive and premature to talk about gun control and that it's culture and not guns that is causing these horrible things?
I'll tell you exactly how I reconcile that. First of all, a month ago in Kentucky, we had a very similar situation. Made a very concerted effort to make sure that we removed the media circus from the healing process. So within 24 to 48 hours, you're probably not even aware, most people aren't, that I had a 15-year-old come into a school in Kentucky last month and shoot 16 children at point-blank range, two of whom died. A set of twins were both shot and taken to a level one trauma center. They lived. This is very real to me. I've sat with these families. You also probably are not aware of the fact that I buried my oldest child. Died under different circumstances, but went to school and didn't come home. She was 17 years old. I know exactly, not exactly, it's not possible to know exactly what another person's going through, but I know exactly what it feels like to bury your oldest child. I know what the impact is on a family. I don't come at this with a sense of sympathy, but empathy. The point that I've made that's been largely misconstrued, I'll reaffirm with you and tell you exactly why it comes from, where it comes from. This idea, just as solving this issue is able to be solved with a single law or rule or change, is naive and delusional. And so we shouldn't allow ourselves to entertain naive and delusional thoughts. It is part of a broader construct, just as this issue is. And the point that I made, that I'll reiterate, is that if we think that a part of what we are seeing is not a cultural problem, we're kidding ourselves. And the point that I've made is this. What has shifted in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? It's not the percentage of guns that we find in homes. And you can give me a statistic that there's now more guns. Fair enough, I'll submit that that may be true. I'm not going to argue with you. But the reality is there's fewer homes that have guns in them than there were 50 years ago when children didn't walk into schools and shoot themselves and shoot each other. That's a fact. You can confirm that. But I'll tell you this. When I was a kid, kids brought guns to school. Kids brought guns on the school bus. Kids brought guns to school in their own vehicles. Kids didn't shoot each other with them. So some things have not changed. What has changed? We as a culture, as a society, and it's very germane to this topic as well, we don't value human life like we did. We remove increasingly respect for the dignity of other people. You look at how rampant pornography is, the degradation and disrespect for women and for human life in general. It is so systemic. People of our age have not been exposed like our children have been. There's not a child in America that hasn't been exposed to pornography, I guarantee you, if they're above the age of 12. That's a fact. It is so systemic, it's horrific. And it desensitizes us at every turn. And so we're desensitized to the value and dignity of human life. We're desensitized through, and this is to the heart of what I said that you seem to take exception with, is that through violent video games, where literally you are encouraged, and you can roll your eyes all you want, ma'am, but I will say this. You explain to me the value of a game that encourages somebody to go back and finish them off, where you get points for kill counts and you slaughter people. We're desensitizing people to the value of life. And we see it through the lyrics and music, and we see it through television shows, and we see it through movies. We see it in the fact that the mores of this nation have changed. We see it through the fact that we increasingly want to remove any sense of moral authority from everything. I'll tell you again, this, we could have 1,000 sidebars, and you could agree or disagree as it relates to what I'm about to say. But in a nation where over the last 40 years, we've aborted 50-something million children, and we have multiple states with medically assisted suicide being provided by doctors, at both ends of the life spectrum, we're losing the value for life that we once historically had. You can say that's good, you can say it's bad, but it's a reality. You couple that with the fact that all these other things are changing, that we're removing any sense of authority. It used to be that you had different levels of authority starting in the home itself. Only a third of children in a recent Pew study say that they have no interaction, for all intents and purposes, with their own parents. When their parents live in the home, they say their parents have no clue what they're even learning in school. There was a study recently in an article that was derived from that and other studies that was in The Atlantic. I encourage you to look it up about the impact. And again, you can smirk and you can smile, but as somebody who's an independent consultant, I find it remarkable that you're so smug and you're so disregarding of my opinion when, in fact, I'm just trying to have an honest dialogue with you based on a fair question. But I will say this. Look at this article in The Atlantic. This article in The Atlantic talks about how young people are increasingly becoming suicidal and depressed because of the use of social media and the use of these personal devices and on-screen time. All these are part of a cultural issue. And this cultural issue, if we're not addressing it, we are kidding ourselves, because it also affects this issue we came here to talk about today, which is why these homes are broken, why so many children are finding themselves in government care, which is not the best solution. The government should not be raising our children, period. It just shouldn't. The fact of the matter is, we need people in the position like I am. And I had this same conversation less than an hour ago with the President of the United States. And I said to him, he should, I should. This whole room was full of cabinet secretaries and governors of other states. Those of us that are in a position of influence and the ability to say something, shame on us if we don't step up and call people to a higher authority. And there will always be those, including many in the media, whoever the messenger is, they're going to find the imperfection in that messenger. So if the messenger says we should do X, Y, Z as it relates to this issue or adoption of foster care, people will say, well, who is this person? They're an imperfect person. Well, so is every one of us. There's not a perfect person in America, but that doesn't mean we don't strive for perfection. There's not a perfectly morally upright person in America. That doesn't mean we don't espouse and aspire to reach for moral higher authority and expect more and demand more of our children. Shame on us if we don't sound the alarm. You want to take any kind of morality and change the mores of a nation, remove any sense of higher responsibility, try to pin it on any one thing and assume the government and a piece of regulation and a rule is the solution, and then we're shocked when these things happen.
Governor Bevin of Oklahoma, he was phenomenal there. The issues that he brought up, I think every single one of those were reflected in our list of ways that the church should respond to a crime epidemic, and how we could actually lower the crime rate and reduce school shootings if only our leaders would aggressively teach a Christian worldview that properly addresses these issues. And everything he brought up, pornography, violent video games, abortion, devaluing life, these things are on our list. And I'd like to share with you the items that are on our list. Again, it's at kgov.com/crime. The church has to stop teaching don't judge, because it silences, it removes the influence of millions of Christians. It has to stop teaching forgive everyone, because if repentance is superfluous, that leads to corruption, crime, and murder. And it contradicts Jesus in Luke 17:3. The church needs to support vengeance, encourage vengeance like the New Testament does in Romans 13. Not personal vengeance, but governmental vengeance against criminals. It's affirmed explicitly by God, by Jesus, by the Apostle Paul in the Old and the New Testaments. Personal vengeance, on the other hand, we are right to oppose it. But especially, we need to make parents aware of the intense emphasis on personal vengeance in television, films, it's ubiquitous, video games, novels. So personal vengeance, we need to recognize that theme is a cancer that's eroding the souls, the conscience of our kids growing up. The whole can't versus won't. Like Stephen Tubbs didn't understand. If your solution, if your number one suggestion is make it so that kids can't commit crime instead of so that they won't commit crime, then you're not addressing the underlying problems, and you're going to waste maybe another 20 years with a distraction that will never actually address the underlying issues in society's dysfunction. Capital punishment, Christians, the church need to advocate the death penalty, which is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible is a criminal justice textbook, and the New Testament aggressively supports capital punishment. If you Google God and the death penalty, I think our article will still be number one at kgov.com. You'll see all the New Testament support throughout the New Testament, including from Jesus, for the death penalty. When there is a death penalty, we need to have swift execution. The Bible says that if the punishment against the convicted criminal is not executed swiftly, then you will have a crime epidemic. And that's what we have. We need to oppose suicide more aggressively. Suicide is destabilizing, like with 9/11 and Muslim suicide bombers. We need to reintroduce the social stigma against suicide to protect kids. Because when adults advocate suicide, then teenagers adopt it. They put it in their tool bag of things to do to solve problems. Government schools, if the Israelites would have sent their children off to be educated by the godless Philistines, God probably, he was interacting in a way back then that he doesn't today, he probably would have killed the parents. That's what he probably would have done. He's operating differently today because of his brilliance and his wisdom, and we honor him for that. But nonetheless, it is reckless to send a child to our officially godless public schools. The worst thing about them is that they're government schools, because that means they usurp the authority of parents. The second worst thing about the schools is that they're godless. But that's second. Even if you put prayer and Bible study back into school, it would still be immoral. It would still be a nightmare. Homeschooling. We need to all promote homeschooling, the absolute best way to give children a godly education. Some parents don't have control. They don't have custody or complete custody of their kids. Whatever, we need to do what we can to, wherever possible, to homeschool our kids and to encourage parents, get your kids out of the godless government schools. You know the old question authority? The hippies, the leftovers from the 60s, they still have a stranglehold on our culture. When they said question authority, they never meant to challenge individuals. It was a blanket anarchy statement, question authority, as though there should be no such thing as authority. And in reality, God is an authority over all of us. The liberal brainwashing that happens in our public school curriculum, 20 hours a week for 13 years, and parents think, conservative parents, they think they're going to deprogram their kids from all that. Sexual morality that's promoted not only in our schools, but it permeates our culture, and it has desensitized even our Christian leaders to where they think that, say, adultery should be legal, where it was criminal from Moses through Jesus and Paul. And the list goes on. That's the first half of the list. So we strongly recommend you check it out, kgov.com/crime. You might want to go to our YouTube channel and check out the Giant Claw 3-minute video. I think you'll love that. Hey, may God bless you. Hey, have you seen Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang? It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download. Our goal is for millions more to be able to answer correctly and with confidence the number one most important question: where do we come from? Evidence Against the Big Bang is available at our website, rsr.org. Just click on the store, or by calling us at 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278.